RCR with Paul Brennan.
Boy, that fortnight went past so quick. It's time to welcome back Tim Wilms for the Wilms Report from the Unshackled.net, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Paul. A lot has happened here in Australia in these past 2 weeks. We've had most likely the final sitting fortnight of a federal parliament before a federal election is called, though there's an asterisk above that. So it's in the penultimate period before our, well, it's probably going to be March Madness. I was going to say silly season.
Yeah. Isn't there another election going on Western Australia around that time? Doesn't the whole thing, fall over the other thing potentially here?
Yes, yeah, so March the 8th will be the Western Australian state election. So all the states and territories now have fixed 4-year terms. So we know that's going to be the date. That is one of two states where the Labor government is doing exceptionally well. So it's going to be a comfortable re-election for the Labor Premier, Roger Cook, after benefiting from the huge landslide that Mark McGowan, his predecessor, won in 2021 during the Western Australian COVID hard border. He subsequently retired due to exhaustion, though the Liberal Party, they probably will get more than two seats this time, is what they ended up last time. Yes, they're not. Well, it's hard to cut through with a party with just two MPs in the lower house, but there's not. They haven't had much cut through.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is there? And we'll get to Super Saturday twin by-elections and that in just a moment. But is there some kind of east-west political divide emerging here? Because it sounds to me in the chats we've had, and you just mentioned it then with WA, I don't know about the other states, South Australia, Northern Territory, but the further you go east, the less popular Labor seem to be. Is that correct?
Yes, the Labor Premier of South Australia, Peter Malinauskas, is very popular. The Liberal state opposition is a complete mess. I mentioned their former leader is on drugs charges, David Spears. But we had, because the polls coming thick and fast now, there was a couple of polls yesterday, and one was a breakdown by state and even electorate. So the Albanese government is on the nose here in Victoria and up in New South Wales, I would say, because they've borne the brunt of the open borders mass migration since the end of the COVID closed borders. And obviously, there is an incredibly unpopular state government here in Victoria, which took a whack at the recent a Werribee by-election, which was held on the 8th of February.
Weren't there some unusual swings?
The Labor Party, they only contested the seat of Werribee, which was vacated by the retiring Treasurer, Tim Pallas, Uncle Fester, who's left us with the biggest state debt in the nation. They held on to the seat, though they took a 16.5% whack to their primary vote, which was down to 29%. But on the primary vote, the Liberal candidate only got 40 votes more. So they didn't even crack 30% either and only got a 3.6% swing. There was a substantial swings to the far left, a Victorian Socialist. Their candidate Sue Munro is a regular at all the socialist events and counter protests at the Let Women Speak rallies. I've seen her around for years. And also the Legalised Cannabis Party did well, getting 5% of the vote.
Wow. Okay. All right. Anything to say about elections?
Yeah. Over in the Prahran by-election, Labor didn't contest, though it was a Liberal versus Greens, and the Liberals have gained the seat. Prahran is in the in a city while Werribee is out in the outer west suburbs. So the Greens member there, Sam Hibbins, resigned because he was kicked out of the party for a consensual affair with a staffer. So the Liberal Party benefited from preferences from the former Labor member who ran as an independent, who preferenced the Liberals. So yeah, the Greens aren't going too well. They didn't do too well in Werribee either. It seems that all of the far left rabble in Victoria, they want the ultra far left rather than just the Greens.
Speaking of falling out of favour, remind us again, who is Shane Patton?
Shane Patton was our
Oh, was.
Victorian police commissioner. He was appointed during the first COVID lockdown, and so it was his job to well he well when I say his
Club
job,
people in the street? Put
yes,
them in choker holds? Yeah,
yes,
right,
I mean,
okay.
he chose the operational approach in enforcing Dan Andrews and Brett Sutton's lockdown orders. I mean, Dan Andrews, as far as we know, didn't say use rubber bullets, choke women for not wearing masks, arrest a pregnant woman in her pajamas, handcuff her for organizing a protest, a whacking and pepper spraying a granny. So his defense was always just following orders. Well, it hasn't
Yeah,
worked out
okay.
for him. He was actually told 2 weeks ago that he was going to be reappointed for another 5-year term, and he probably thought, being the government stooge, done all their dirty work for them, I'll be rewarded. Well, there's been a 2-year pay dispute between the Allan government and the Victorian Police Association. It's going to the Fair Work Commission, and representing Victoria Police at the Fair Work Commission is Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius, now head of Human Resources Command. He was his nickname was Chief Wiggum, calling anti-lockdown people batshit crazy tinfoil hat brigade, and
Nice.
defended the handcuffing of Zoe Bueller. So
Yeah.
I mean, he should be also showing the door as well. So the police association, their 14,000 members, 87% gave Shane Patton a vote of no confidence, and so they backflipped the Allan government and told him to resign immediately.
I wonder if Patton will go rogue.
Well, I have no sympathy for him. I mean, he still did the dirty work of the Andrews Allan government. So I don't care if he tries to say now, look, of course the just following orders defense doesn't wash.
Well, he'll have emails and correspondence and who knows what. All right. Anti-free speech legislation keeps crawling through like slime under the door. What's the latest?
Yes, so we got another one this sitting fortnight, the Criminal Code Amendment Hate Crimes Bill 2005. And basically, what it was all about was making threatening force or violence against groups, making them double, triple illegal. And it was passed to tackle this rise in anti-Semitic vandalism and arson, even though as I've told your audience previously, the authorities believe that a foreign actor is orchestrating all of this, paying local organized crime and some local criminals. Because it is so close to an election, the Albanese government, they decided to yield to the demands of the Liberal opposition, Liberal National Opposition, who obviously don't believe in free speech anymore. And threatening force or violence, it's already illegal, but this is double, triple illegal. But it includes if it's you if somebody's reckless, like they didn't mean that. And the targeted group is protected by race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, intersex status, disability, nationality, national ethnic origin, or political opinion. And that seems to have been
Oh.
included to protect Zionists, since it's a political opinion, because
Well,
they've
that
been
could be
up.
used to protect anyone who wants to use it to
Yes,
themselves. Yeah.
the fact that well, I think this was the Albanese government sneaking particularly gender identity in there. I'm
Yep.
sort of thinking I'm not sure if you remember Michael Knowles at CPAC in America saying transgenderism must be eradicated. If he said that in Australia, that would probably be illegal. And also mandatory 1 year minimum sentence for a Nazi salute or displaying Nazi symbols. So Elon Musk would probably be looking at a 1 year minimum sentence if he gave his heart out to Australians, if he was in Australia doing it.
Wow, such BS. Like
Exactly.
problem,
And
reaction, solutions, classic.
yeah, and this incitement to violence, threatening violence, it's already illegal. So is
Yeah, can I ask you, is double or triple legal actually a legal concept, or is that just a colloquial term for
Oh, well,
explaining a
Anthony
ridiculous
Albanese admitted
situation?
it's about passing, sending a message. A lot of the passing of laws is virtue signaling, which is, of course, they're the worst laws that you can possibly. The worst circumstances or
Yeah.
pretext you can pass laws under.
Okay. It doesn't stop, does it? How did One Nation vote? Or have they been tracking on this issue?
So Pauline Hanson and Malcolm Roberts, they abstained because they didn't want to vote against increased penalties for terrorism, even though terrorism is already illegal.
That's odd, isn't
And
it?
this is why Matt Canavan voted for it, who is usually one of the good Liberal National senators. Alex Antic, he voted against it. So did Ralph Barbette of the United Australia Party. And also David Pocock, one of the Teal independent senators. Tammy Tyrrell, Jackie Lambie's ex-senator. And also Fatima Payman, the ex-Labor Muslim senator. She probably voted against it because she doesn't want, she believes that these laws will be used to target Muslims.
She's probably right. Target everyone in the end. All right, on to the backlash against Sam Newman. I think you mentioned that a fortnight ago, but there have been developments. What's the latest there?
Yes, so Sam Newman, in the aftermath of the backlash, he decided he would basically character assassinate Blair Cottrell, saying that he wasn't invited, and he shared a video trying to imply that I was sympathetic to their views. And it seemed as a sort of mea culpa. He agreed to be interviewed by Avi Yemini, who put a Jewish yarmulke on his head, and took a photo of Sam outside his studio. Though Sam Newman said that he still had no regrets about interviewing Blair Cottrell and Thomas Sowell. Though Davira Abramovich of the Anti-Defamation Commission is still after him, wanting him removed from the AFL Hall of Fame, claiming that by interviewing them, he spat in the face of Holocaust survivors. He's very hyperbolic, Davira Abramovich. Now, the night after Sam Newman released that interview, Thomas Sowell, Blair Cottrell, all the other National Socialist Network members and associates were all mass deleted off X. And this was also a day before this hate
Off
crime.
X.
Yes, this hate crimes amendment bill was passed by the parliament. There was no committee, no scrutiny of it. It was just rushed through.
Well,
So it
what if
was.
I'm interested to hear what they have to say?
Oh, well, they are still on Telegram.
Right, okay,
So,
still other places, yeah.
but they've already been, they were banned off YouTube a couple of years ago. Though It's funny that and this is the argument that Sam Newman made, the mainstream media can't stop talking about them. There was an ABC Four Corners investigation into them that aired last night, and Channel 9's Snapperazzi filmed them just exercising in a park. They weren't engaging in activism, so like they're actually doing more
It's
promoting.
for clicks. It's for the clicks, Tim. In the end, it's for the clicks.
Yes, though I'll tell you what, who the Jewish community should be really worried about is the radical pro-Palestine Muslim activists. And this has gone viral all around the world last week. These two Bankstown hospital nurses, Ahmed Nadia and Sarah Abu Lebdia, they were on a chat roulette with Israeli influencer Max Figer, and they said that they would kill Israeli patients if they presented at the hospital. Nadia, who came to Australia as an illegal boat migrant in 15 years ago and was granted Australian citizenship in 2020, tried to claim that it was just a misunderstood joke. It's just a prank, bro. The New South Wales police, they are trying to come up with a charge for them, though obviously what they said is professional misconduct. I don't think anybody would be comfortable having them work in the hospital. And this happened in the staff tea room at the Bankstown Hospital. I thought the hospitals were overwhelmed because of COVID and all of that. But apparently they've got time to be on chat roulette. And so they're both being stood down. And also, as part of the investigation, allegedly they found in Ahmed Nadir's locker some morphine.
Okay, well, there could be something in it.
Yes.
Who
So
knows?
there's a News Corp Sky News. They have an anti-Semitism summit this Thursday. Josh Frydenberg, the former treasurer, is also launching an a door foundation to combat anti-Semitism. But despite all of these developments, News Corp's The Daily Telegraph tried to provoke, instigate a anti-Semitic remarks by going to various pro-Palestine restaurants around Sydney. And they had a Jewish gentleman who had a cap with the Star of David on it, get a tea from this restaurant in Newtown, the Cairo Takeaway. And because he wasn't able to provoke an anti-Semitic remark from any of the staff, one of the staff then realized that this was an attempted sting when a Daily Telegraph journalist, Danielle Gasmaro, turned up. And so she chased them with their two videographers. It was quite an elaborate operation, a really unethical trying to create news. And so they have become the story. And the editor of the Daily Telegraph, Ben English, said, "Oh, we could have handled it better. We were trying to investigate what it's like to be Jewish in Sydney."
Sounds like a setup to me.
Yes, absolutely disgraceful.
And then, of course, if they did get someone, and wasn't there, did you just mention it, in an interaction with the proprietor or the owner of?
Yes, who realized that it was an attempted basically sting or setup, and so said, you picked the wrong effing restaurant to try this shit in." It was targeted, this Cairo Takeaway, because it's very pro-Palestine on its social media. But the fact that the editor, Ben English, admitted we tried this at several restaurants and they didn't elicit a response, maybe there's not as much anti-Semitism in these sorts of Middle Eastern restaurants as is purported.
And that's when you're trying to gin it up as well.
Yes. So
And
they
if
haven't.
someone had taken the bait, that would have been a huge news story, and it would have been used to see, this is happening, see. And, the backstory is it was completely set up, and someone could be easily entrapped into that.
Well, none of them were. So
No,
even when
but
there was
that's what would have
a
happened if
yeah,
someone
even though
was.
there was quite a bit of nudging I mean, I'm not sure that most Jewish men go around in restaurants with caps with the Star
It
of
probably
David on
looks
it.
suspect to any common sense thinker, which makes
Yeah.
them not very bright. All right, let's finish up on Sam Kerr. Remind us of why she has been found not guilty in London of what?
Sam Kerr is the women's national soccer team, the Matildas, captain. She plays in the English Women's Super League, very highly paid, was on the front of the FIFA game cover. So she, in January 2023, after a night out with her now fiance, Christy Mewis, who's a US soccer player who she's having an IVF baby with, Christy Mewis is the one who's pregnant. She spewed in a taxi, refused to pay for the damage. So the taxi driver, who was Muslim, by the way, drove them to the police station, and they claimed that we thought that he was kidnapping us. You're believing
Oh
his
dear.
version of events. They must have been seriously wasted if they thought that was happening.
If
And
they're
so Chris.
chundering, to use the Australian word.
And Christy Mewis actually, she bashed out the back of the taxi, so they engaged in more damage. And Stephen Lovell, who was the Metropolitan Police officer dealing with them, asking her about, like, why do you think that we're that we're taking his side and not believing you. And then she said, you're effing stupid and white. And so she was on trial
Oh
in
dear.
London for racially aggravated harassment of a police officer and was found not guilty by a jury of eight men and four women. And this was also big news in the UK because anti-white racism appears to be lawful. And of course, I don't want to see anyone on trial for hurty words, but it does show the double standard. And she has not been sanctioned by her Super League club, Chelsea, which is actually my team that I support. Well, I mainly watch the Men's Premier League. And she is under no pressure to give up the Matildas captaincy. She's been out of action for a year with an ACL injury. But what really perplexed me is her fiance, Christy Mewis, who's white and blonde, testified in her defense saying she was speaking her truth, which it doesn't seem that she has so much self-respect as a white person. I mean, I'd certainly take umbrage with a friend of color who went on an anti-white racist rant. I'm sure you would as well.
It is what it is, right? In the end, it seems to be a pass, though, for some
Yeah,
in
because
these
Sam
matters.
Kerr is she's visibly brown. She's Anglo-Indian.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we need a color chart so we can measure off the RGB to make sure. Interesting. All right. That's pretty well the report, the Williams report for this fortnight. Tim, thanks for beaming in. Next time we'll be talking, we'll know more about elections and all of that. And
Yeah, it all hinges on the interest rate decision of the Reserve Bank today. If there's a cut, then Anthony Albanese by the weekend will rush to the Governor General. But if there's not a rate cut, then he might wait a bit longer. So watch this space, as they say.
it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Okay, Tim Wilms from the unshackled.net, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Thanks again, Tim.
Thank you, Paul.